Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. Hello and welcome to Visions with me, Yodalee Wickham Ashby. And today, we'll carry a conversation looking at relationships. The importance of relationships. How do we build and strengthen relationships, especially during periods of strain, stress, or trauma? And today, to help me discuss that, is Keisha Graves. You would have met her on a previous program where she shared about acquiring her disability and how it has impacted her life and her relationship with her family. And joining us today is her lovely husband, Carlos Graves, who will add to the discussion about how he, as a man, as head of the household, coped and have helped in strengthening their relationship. So welcome to the program, guys.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Now, Keisha, just to recap for those listeners who may not have heard your program, and we can remind them that they can go to the VOB929.com website and look for the podcast link to Visions and listen to your episode. So you would have had an accident where you fell and had some severe injuries, which has now led to you having some mobility challenges, some trauma to the brain. And just how have you been coping? Just recap for us briefly.
Okay, I'm brief. Actually, it was 3 years. So I had an incident, and it ended up hurting the back of my head, my neck, my back, my knee, broke my leg and ankle. And since then, it has been traumatic. It has affected me in every aspect, financially, emotionally, physically, mentally. It also has affected my family as well. I have 2 kids. A son, he turned 11 in February, a daughter, 6. But at the time, they were 7, and
what?
Daughter was 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I said before, it was really hard.
Right.
I had to learn how to do stuff, because I was always an independent person, so I had to depend on people and had to learn to trust people and get help. I really needed
okay.
to get the help.
Yeah. Right. Now, Carlos, I want to ask you, how did you meet your lovely wife?
Well, we met through a mutual friend of ours. That's how we first actually met, and from there we just start talking via Facebook and Skype, and then we just started going out. December 2012. I can't remember the actual day, but yeah,
men are not usually good at remembering dates.
Yeah. And there are things, picked up, very fast. And as we get to know each other, like if we know each other for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. What would you say would be some of the values and things that appealed to you where Keisha is concerned?
Well, her personality.
What drew you to her?
Her smile, her giving personality, and she's bubbly, and she's the type of person that even though when you are down, she will always want to make sure that you are laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
okay.
She's that type of lady.
Right. And can I ask, how did you propose to her? Was it one of these romantic scenes like we see on television in movies where you got on your bended knee? Or did it, you know? Or was it just a casual?
It was a casual, you know, subtle, you know, simple, but yet so sweet proposal.
I like the sound of this.
I am not the fussy type of person. I don't like the whole publicity
mm-hmm.
and more
okay.
simple when it comes
right.
to that simple.
right. Okay, good.
So I did wait on one day.
Oh, okay then. I'm sorry it wasn't there to record it. Okay, so Keisha, what drew you to Carlos?
Because he was different. He was quiet. He kept to himself. He was shy. And he was a home bird.
Okay.
He was always this home bird. And then when we used to talk, I used to feel like if I know him for years. So I felt comfortable. And I'm a person I like to show people from the beginning, this is me. This is how I am. So I don't pretend and show you a different side. And then gradually when you get to know me, then you see a different person. I show you me from beginning. So you must like me as I am or leave me as I am.
Right.
So, but he was really down to earth. And I guess the part where he was so shy and quiet, I guess I had like that. And then he was so muscular and extremely handsome.
Ah.
So, yeah.
You heard she said the key word was.
Well, I'm sure that was just a slip of the tongue.
No, we both have gained weight, man. So he's still very muscular and still sexy, but but we both have put on some size. Mainly me.
Okay. But we know why that has happened. And
yeah.
As a result of some of the medication you would be using. So, Carlos, as your wife said, she has gained some weight. And she's gone through some serious changes and challenges. How would you say you have coped and adjusted to all of the happenings?
Well, to be honest, at first, I mean, it was like I didn't know what to do at the time, you
mm-hmm.
know, due to her circumstance, you know, and just trying to adapt. You know, just with each day, you know, I learn something, you know, and I go from there. You know, and
okay.
I was in a position too where I was questioning myself, okay, well, what can I do, you know, if I try to do this, you know, if I try to do that, you know, how would it affect her? And, you know, honestly, I was nervous. I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, with each day, you know, I learned something, you know, and I just go with it from there. Just go with the flow.
Right. No, I think this is an area that sometimes as human beings, whether it's husband and wife, parent and child, or brother, sister, you know, an incident occur and we're unsure as to what to do, how best to approach this situation, or even how to raise the topic with the party involved. And this is natural, and therefore I don't think we should beat ourselves up and feel very badly about it. But the critical thing, as you have pointed out, is that you learnt each day, you learnt something, some process, some technique that could help yourself in supporting your wife. And that is important. That's really, really critical.
Yeah.
So that's a very valuable lesson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you have to make lots of adjustments to your home?
Well, yes, we did. Yes, we did. Not really nothing major,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, each time... we did do some rearranging and stuff like that, just to make Keisha more comfortable, you know.
Right.
But we also don't have to get some more adjustments done to Lady Bathroom and getting into the house, but at some point in time, we would look into that when things get better financially.
Okay. Now, Carlos, what would you say was one of the most difficult periods during this season for you to adjust to?
This season?
This season, meaning the period from the time Keisha had her accident until
the most difficult time?
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning, that was the worst. But as I said, you know, each day, you know, I had to adjust.
Okay, so worse,
no,
explained worse. What was
well,
it?
Well, worse was like when she first got home, you know, from the hospital and such, and seeing her in pain and crying, you know, I didn't know what to do and such, and she was just crying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tried to be there for her, you know, and as any way that I can, you know, even though I didn't have a clue what to do, you know, but I can make her see that, you know, like, okay, well, I don't know what to do or, you know, or what to say, you know, I just tried to be there for her.
Right.
You know, so it was hard. It was hard.
Right.
Emotionally, mentally, yeah.
And how have you dealt with your own emotions? How were you able to bring yourself through the challenges, the turmoil of emotions?
Well, some days I had good days and some days I had bad ones in terms of, you know, like being physically and mentally tired. But, you know, I just, when I felt that way, I just used to just tell myself, okay, well, I'm the husband. It's my role to, you know, take care of your family, make sure they're good and everything. You know,
but also part of taking care of your family, you too have to take care of yourself.
Yes, that's true. But I didn't even had any time to really look, you know, at my perspective and in terms of my feelings and, you know, and stuff like that. I was just more concentrating on, you know, my family, Keisha, and, you know, my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and plus two with her son now. You know, that's another challenge there as well. So, as I say, it's all about adapting.
Right.
It's all about adapting.
Mm-hmm. How have you and Keisha been able to walk your children through this period of her adjusting to living with a disability?
Well, you know, children will be children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, for them, you know, nothing hasn't changed. You know, and, you know, they will see her, you know, with her foot and such. But they're still in high spirits, you know, you know, be mindful that, yes, mommy had an injury and, you know, you have to be careful and such. So, you know.
But to add to that, too, that's how they are now. But before, there were more my son, he's now actually now becoming a little depressed because he has some challenges going on. So he thinks that everything is going wrong, but we're helping him. And at the beginning then, same thing with my daughter, she was just confused. But right now, because it's been 3 years now, they're now more the helping me more. And
right.
Like, my son would, like, he would come and hug me or, like, hold my bag for me or open the door for me. And they're more mindful of certain things they say, too, because at a point in time, my son was like, Mommy, you putting all the... And I cried, so he doesn't say that anymore. So he's more mindful of letting me know that I can't wait and stuff.
Right.
And it's fine that they both know. I guess they're understanding it is because it's been so long now. Not long, but to them now, it's like they're now learning how to cope. So they're coping with it much better than I am.
Okay. Now, what would you say was one of the funniest moments that you've experienced since acquiring your disability?
The funniest moment? Let me see what's the funniest moment. Oh, the funniest moment is when I would tell my mother, and my husband that I'm going to run away. And then my mom would say, go ahead, you can't even walk. From here to there, you already ready, saying that you enough pay, you see your boss. So let me see you run. And then she would, so everybody would make a laugh and sport with all that.
Okay.
They would turn it into a joke.
Right. And for you, Carlos?
You see him. Is he same thing?
Oh, okay. So that's like a running joke in the family now.
Yes. So everybody know. First time we say, I'm going to run away. I'm going to run and run far away. And then my mom always ready. And then one night, my husband, he even did the same joke. I was on the phone with my mom. And I was like, I'm going to run away. And before she could say it, he's like, hey, what mommy tell you? You can't even walk, but you can run. I want to see that.
Right.
And I made it into a joke. So I was like, oh, see y'all. Oh, everybody laughing at me now. So they turn it into a funny thing. It's helping me, though, because I find it's helping me a lot to come out of my shell when it comes to the disability part of it. So.
Right. Now, what advice would you give to a couple who are experiencing some challenging times? It may be disability, it may be a health issue, it could be, you know, some other type of trauma. What suggestions would you offer them?
Be strong for one another, you know, trust one another, you know, and open up, talk, you know, let the other person know what they're going through, because people, you know, at sometimes, you know, keep everything bottled up inside, you know, and that time you will think, well, you will know what the person or what the person should do or whatever, but as I say, it's just being there for one another.
Right.
Just being, and don't give up.
Right. And Keisha, talk to us about that important point that Carlos just raised about trusting each other, strengthening that trust between, that bond between you and your partner.
Yeah, you have to be able to trust because I'm not 100% like how I used to be in terms of even when it goes to a more serious topic of when it comes to the part that adults normally do. Because of my injuries, I'm not able to do that part of it as I should or how I used to. So it's difficult. So then, obviously, it will put fear into me at times. Could it be like because I am not able to perform my wifely duties like I did before, would there be a room for someone else? But at this time, I can say I trust him, and I haven't had any kind of, you know, they say women have the instinct. I haven't gotten any things stating, but other than that, I trust him, and I have to trust him anyhow because he's who that is here with us, helping us a lot and helping me mentally wise, so, and he has to help me sometimes in the shower, especially if I stand in more than 2 or 3 minutes, I get bad feet. So I normally have to haul for him, and then he will rush in and help me. So, and then when he helps me, I have to put trust in him too that he would help me and don't cause me to fall. So I really had to put a lot of trust in him in every aspect.
I think that we cannot underscore the power and the importance of trust in all relationships. You know, it's so crucial that we have trust in our relationships. That helps us to grow. It helps to strengthen the relationship and, of course, bring more joy and peace in the relationship as well. Now, you spoke about the ability to perform or to have your romantic side of your relationship, you know, in a customary way. And I think this is an area that we need to really have some conversations, regular conversations around, so that people become more comfortable understanding that there are different techniques, there are different levels of satisfaction that can be derived from just being with your partner, the companionship and everything else that is added to that side of the relationship. And as you said, you know, not being fearful of maybe another person getting involved and being damaging to the relationship. What are your thoughts about this aspect of your relationship, Carlos?
Well, it's good. I don't have any complaints. But I can say with other people out there that has disability, everyone's disability are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, it's just a matter of when you have a partner, must understand the situation that the person is going through and just be there for the person, you know, make the person laugh, you know, enjoy each other's time, you know, talk, you know, even if play games, whatever the case is, you know, just to make, you know, each other happy.
You had to make some adjustments, physical adjustments, and even emotionally, where your sexual relationship is concerned. And I think this is an area that people are so scared to talk about, on not understanding that you may be accustomed to your sexual relationship in one way or one pattern, but you need to make some adjustments because of injury, because of ill health, and so on. And emotionally, that can tear at you and can also lead to a point where you might say, okay, we're limited here. How do I make the adjustments? And sometimes it means talking to your partner and finding a solution.
Yeah, because actually the physiotherapist had given me a brochure on different techniques with my injuries.
Uh-huh.
But when she was going through it with me, it was embarrassing at first. But she's like, Kishi, I'm married, so I have to do this. But then when she
right.
was going through it, she's like, oh, you can't do this. Oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, no, you definitely can't do that. Oh, you can't do that. Well, Kishi, just sit down with your husband and try to see what y'all can do.
Right.
So, but I do
yes,
talk
because,
with him to
mm-hmm.
see, because I know there are times that where he might be in the mood, but I might not be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do have to talk with him, and then there are times where we might be trained, but then it might the injury might be cause pain, so then I have to stop. But
right.
he understands, he doesn't get angry. So
I
just have we normally just have to try to find a position to actually yeah.
I always remember quite a few years ago, I read a book called I Always Wanted to Be a Tap Dancer. And
Ooh.
This is an anthology of stories about Australian women with disabilities. And there was one lady who shared her story. She was married, and then she had a vehicular accident which led to her becoming a quadriplegic.
Ooh.
So she was paralyzed from the neck down and unable to physically do anything for herself. So she looked at the many aspects of her new life and what stress and strain it could cause on her marriage, and the fact that she did not want her husband to become a full-time caregiver. So she looked at measures to give him some space and their relationship some space. And in addition to that, she still wanted to maintain a healthy sex life with her husband. And she shared that on one occasion, you know, she was there thinking, so how can I assist my husband as we are being intimate? And by accident, one day, her helper placed some silk sheets or satiny type sheets on the bed. And as a result of lying on that, she realized that because of the silkiness, her body moved. You know, she was able to move on the bed. And that was a solution for her in being able to participate a bit more in their intimate relationship. And that always stood out for me because it's like, yes, there are always some solutions to problems.
Correct.
Yes, I like that, Carlos. Correct. Okay, so overall, Carlos and Keisha, do you think that having experienced now this new disability, that your relationship has grown deeper, that your friendship has bonded better?
Yes, it has. I would definitely say it has.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, would you say... Okay, and would you say that...
Communicating, you know, talking, because as she said before, I'm not a talkative person. I'm even surprised that I'm even here talking now.
Okay. You see, we're growing all the time.
Correct. Correct.
I help him to come out.
And that's
just
what partners... And that's what relationships do. We help each other. We bring out the best in each other.
Yeah. But we communicate a lot better. And mm-hmm. he even comes and he encourages me to don't give up, because there are some days where I sit on my bed and I start to cry because I just frustrated and just was like, want my old life back. I want to be able to get up and just walk outside without any kind of assistance. Wish I was able to drive my car again. I could just go for a drive at the airport and carry my kids and come back. So then he would just come and let me know, just encourage me, and it really makes me feel good because, as I said before, he's not a talker. So when he actually opens up and talks to me, it makes me feel good. It really makes me feel good. And then when I have my, like, Tuesday would have been my 3-year, and before I kept calling it my trauma anniversary. But my cousin had told me the night in front to don't call it a trauma anniversary. Look at it as in, this is 3 years I've survived. But there are some people who would have gotten in some incidents and end up passing away, or could be even be in a worse off situation than I am.
Right.
So she said to more look at it in a positive way, and that is what I was trying to do since May, was look at stuff in a positive, but yet still that date was still in me as a trauma date. So this Tuesday, I spoke, Carlos and I sat down in the morning, and I told him, you know what today is? And he said, yes, but you should look at it positive. And I said, yes, I am. So I have to look at it as the 3 years I have survived. I'm still living. I am smiling more now. And I have family. I have my husband, my mother, my father, my brothers. I have my kids. They have their own little challenges, but yeah, still I have them. And Tuesday was actually a day I actually smiled. I did not cry, not once. And I really, like, praise the Lord and appreciate, and just, like, really appreciate the fact is that, yes, I am physically disabled, and I have some mental challenges associated with it, but I am blessed.
I am blessed.
So from Tuesday, I have really, like, felt better in my spirit, I felt better. Mm-hmm. So I can really look forward to every year coming to do as, like, how you do with a birthday. I'm going to do that now instead of laying down and crying all day like I normally do. So I felt proud of myself for that. So it shows that I have taken another step into my healing. So
great.
I'm really, really happy about that.
So what, Keisha and Carlos, what would you say your future looks like now as we wrap up the program? How do you see your future?
For me, I see my future for us growing closer together, improving
each other,
yeah, because he's really helping me and I'm helping him.
Great.
And we see it bright, because the reason why I see it bright is because he doesn't scorn me, nor he doesn't look down at me. So that is the most beautiful part about it. So I can see the future being bright.
Well, good.
Because if right now, in the early stage of my disability, he has never treated me once like, oh my gosh, can't believe you're this way. He's never done that. He was lost at the beginning, but he has always showed me that he cared for me and he loved me, and I see it more now. So I am not afraid of the future when it comes to with him or with my kids and my family. So I see it bright.
Right. And Carlos?
Well, for me, yes, bright, and also for us to be more together. I mean, as we continue with the path that we are on, you know, communicate, you know, talk, love one another, make each other laugh and such. As long as you keep up with that,
you'll be good.
You're gonna be good.
I think so too. And that's a really wonderful, positive note to end this program on. So I want to say thank you to Carlos and Keisha Grace for opening up to us and allowing the world to see that there is hope and we can always move forward positively. So thanks once again for sharing with us.
Thank you again
for having us.
You're welcome. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and remember, you can contact me via mobile 1-246-269-9660 or via Starcom at 1-246-430-7300 via email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That's visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. Look for the podcast link, look for Visions, and there you go. A wonderful world awaits you. I must say a special thank you to my technician today, David Daddy Big Howell. So until next week, when you draw more people to listen to the program, thank you.